Shishila Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swamiji Prabhupada. Anantako Ki Vaishnavindi Ki Jai. Nadacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Adwaita Garathar Shila Sri Gaur Bhakti Vindi Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Galavan Ki Jai. Navadvipdhama Ki Jai. Gangamaya Ki Jai. Jamunamaya Ki Jai. Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vindi Ki Jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shri Gautami Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Itani Gaurdana. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Regarding the avatars who are forever descending into this world to relieve the anguish of Mother Earth and ultimately to fulfill her deepest aspirations, gave a rather direct reference to the golden avatar regarding the savior of the conditioned souls in the Kali Yuga. Kaivajna Muni explained to King Muni, Krishna Varanta Sa Krishnam Sangopanga Saparsitam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayare Vidyantihi Sumetsa. But in the Kali Yuga, the Lord descends in a form which is Krishna Varna Tvasa Krishna. A form which is Krishna, but it's not darkish as is usually the form of Krishna. But this form of Krishna, Tvasa Krishna, is not dark, it is golden. Intelligent persons, intelligent persons, those who are sumedhas now, who have very fine intelligence, this is not material intelligence. This is the kind of intelligence which contemplates the purpose of life. Why am I here? Why am I suffering? Why is it that I'm always dissatisfied? And what is that thing for which I'm always yearning? That's the meaning of sumedhas, a very fine intelligence, to decipher what is spiritual from material, what is my actual nature and aspiration in comparison to the identity and the desires of the body, mind, and false ego. So Krishna Varantasa Krishna Sangopanga Saparsadam. The Lord descends in the Kali Yuga in a golden form with his intimate associates, his weapons, and establishes Yogyai Sankirtana Dharma, the process of Harinam Sankirtan, accompanied by his dear assistants in the spiritual world. And how do we worship that avatar for the age? By the process of Prema Dharma which he bestows, the chanting of the holy names. And Lord Garuda and the Acharyas of his line are very specific regarding the great chant for deliverance in this age of Kali. The general Yuga Dharma is chanting of the holy names, but the specific names combined in the Mahamantra sung by Lord Garuda and in response, our worship of him is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So throughout the Vedic literatures, it is consistently proclaimed that the Lord descends periodically to relieve the anguish of Mother Earth. But this is actually not the work of Krishna. This is the work of his expansion, Mahavishnu, who is the Satyagun avatar in charge of maintaining the creation. And the creation could not be maintained without the mode of goodness, because the mode of passion creates, passion creates, ignorance destroys. Brahma creates, Shiva destroys. But harmony is established and maintained with an element of goodness, of which Lord Vishnu is the avatar. In the 28th Divya, to follow up Srila Vyasadeva's afterthoughts regarding Krishna's appearance with Srila Vyasadeva's next appearance in this world as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, continuing contemplation of the same verse which he repeats in the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Varam Prasad Krishna, Sanko Varam Prasad Krishna, Nagasam Kirtanapaya, Vidanta Gisamitasa. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami takes that one verse, which is one of just a few verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which very specifically describes the advent of Lord Garuda, and contemplating and elaborating on that verse, emphasizes above and beyond the function and the appearance of all the unlimited avatars of Vishnu, the avatar of Sri Krishna and his other feature as the golden avatar, which philosophically speaking are equal and the same. And therefore, the day that Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, in the Dipayu, and the Phagun Purnim evening in the Kali Yuga are philosophically equal. Philosophically. But from the perspective of the Jiva souls, who are being just destroyed here in this conflagration of burning miseries, of the conflicting false egos, of the unlimited Jivas, all conflicting for superiority, the appearance of Lord Garuda is more special from the standpoint of mercy. Then Krishna returned in his golden form, richly imbued with the divine motherly compassion and mercy of Srimati Radharani. His position from the standpoint of mercy, from the perspective of the Jivas, this appearance of the Lord is even more significant, more special, more exalted than the previous descent of the Lord as Sri Krishna in Vrindavan. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes on to explain that Lord Krishna only appears once in an age of Brahma, which is a cycle of 1,000 Divyayugas. 1,000 Chaturyugas makes up the day of Brahma. And Krishna appears in only 1 out of 1,000 Divine Yugas. The avatars for Satya and Treta are always the same, named according to their colors, Shukla, Vakta, white and red. Whereas in the Kali Yuga, the Tripura Yuga is Shyam, and the Kali Yuga is Krishna. Krishna Varantrasa Krishna. Internally he's Krishna. As an appearance, he's golden because of the great upsurge of feelings of compassion and love in the heart of Srimati Radharani, which Krishna wanted to experience for himself. So that 1 out of 1,000 Kali Yugas, when the time for the advent of the Lord coincides with Krishna's own internal desires, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reveals, three internal reasons: desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him, Krishna, which she alone can relish and fully appreciate through her love, and the sublime happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of his love, Lord Sri Krishna, in a form richly endowed with her emotion, appeared as if from the womb of Srimati Satsadevi, like the moon appearing to come from the ocean. Simultaneously, incidentally, time came for the Yuga Avatar, because the work of establishing the Yuga Dharma and rescuing, or rather relieving, the earth of her burden is not the work of Krishna. It's the work of the Vishnu Sattva Gun Avatar within Krishna, who establishes the Yuga Dharma. But there is a function which cannot be delegated to any avatar. The function of bestowing love for Krishna can only be performed by Krishna. Establishing the Yuga Dharma is generally a function of the Yuga Avatars and can even be performed by a specifically favored and empowered Jiva soul. But the work of bestowing pure love for Krishna is unique to Krishna. But more specifically, unique to Lord Garuda. Because in Krishna's Leela, Vrindavan Leela, 5,000 years ago, very few souls actually attained love for Krishna. His unlimited entourage of the spiritual world, consisting of the Vrijavasis, Madhuravasis, and Dwarkavasis, are mostly the Nitya Leela, eternally perfecting souls, associating with the Sadhana Siddhas, those who are coming up from wherever in the universe, to perfect their Sadhana by association, by serving the Nitya Siddhas. But as far as anyone outside of those two categories actually attaining love for Krishna, there's just a very few exceptional souls like the sages of Dandakarna and the personified Shrutis. But as far as the rest of the world, very few actually attained the love for Krishna during his manifest presence on earth. And therefore, Krishna's afterthoughts was that for so long I wanted to bestow prema bhakti in the mood of the Vrijavasis upon the earth. But even after revealing my pastimes in Vrindavan, very few actually became attracted. And Krishna was thinking, I'm like the father. I am the father of all living entities. They're my children. I have a duty to rescue them. Whereas Lord Gauranga actually personified the rest of Krishna's words. I am the father, the mother, the grandson. Lord Gauranga, in his mood of the universal mother, is actually nurturing the devotees, picking up Haridasa Thakura, a little child, taking on his lap. And in the mood of Goddess Lakshmi, nurturing all the devotees, fulfilling all their deepest aspirations. So Krishna wanted to taste the sweet essence of transcendental bellows and to propagate devotional service on the level of spontaneous love. He was thinking in his afterthoughts regarding Krishna Lila, the entire universe is filled with majestic reverence and worship of me due to conceptions of my majesty, which are all pervasive. But this actually weakens the sentiments of pure love, and it fails to satisfy me. But when my mother binds me, not with all the ropes of Gokul, but with the additional thread of her love, I'm subjugated by that love that controls me. And that's and when my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. So Krishna is contemplating that the holy name not only delivers, redeems the living entities from the clutches of Maya, but it liberates me from the boring hymns of the Vedas, to which the Lord is duty bound to participate. Which is like at the end of the whole Govardhan Puja festivities when the demigods were performing their Abhishek and chanting the Vedic hymns. Krishna was standing there looking very grave, thinking, when can I go play with the coward boys? When will all these ceremonies be over? I can just get back to my planet. So he was thinking, the holy name, it redeems the living entities from the clutches of Maya, and it liberates me from this duty-bound function of receiving the reverential hymns of the Vedas. Because he just wants to play. He's a coward boy. Our Lord, Shri Krishna, our beloved Lord. So he was lamenting, for so long I have not bestowed such love upon the inhabitants of this world, without which the existence of the whole creation is just useless. So I will accept the role of a devotee and make the whole universe dance, relishing the mellows of Vrindavan. Whereas his internal contemplation was, what is the nature of the love of Srimati Radharani? That I am the source of all joy and all ananda. I'm the source. How can she experience 10 million times more joy than me simply upon seeing me? What is it about me? Her love is the mirror by which I try to perceive myself. But try as I might, I cannot do so. If I were to take the role of the abode of that love, then I could understand the object of that love. So without taking her position, the nature of that love totally evades me. And he was appreciating the nature of her love. Although most glorious, all-pervading, and ever-increasing, is completely and perfectly devoid of the slightest tinge of selfishness or pride. And ultimately, what is it that attracts Krishna? Selfless love, humility, a sacrificial heart. So Krishna had this desire blazing in his heart. And then, to inflame it all the more, seeing his own beauty reflected in the bejeweled pillar, he said, I want to take the position of the lover in order to understand the nature of my love, which makes the devotees experience more joy and the object and the personification and the source of that love. It is a mystery, even to the heart of Sri Krishna. And therefore, we worship this day, which has the power to kindle ecstatic love for Krishna. So, with this goal in mind, Krishna desired to descend. And then he began sending his devotees to earth, including Narayana, who at the time, preceding the appearance of Lord Narayana, was wandering throughout the universe, chanting the holy name as he always does, and feeling intense compassion for humanity, wanted to offer them some hope for the most difficult, painful, degraded time in the universe, the Kali Yuga. And witnessing the condition on earth with the coming of the Kali Yuga, Narada Muni found that this Kali Yuga, one out of a thousand, has a different sequence of events than the other 999 Kali Yugas comprising the day of Rama. And you'll see that difference if you read the symptoms of the Kali Yuga as described in the 11th canto and compare them to the 12th canto. There's a lot of similarities with a few striking differences. Because in the 11th canto, Shukadeva Goswami keeps repeating that blessed is this Kali Yuga. Whereas in the 12th canto, Vyasadeva keeps repeating, condemned is this Kali Yuga. The Srimad Bhagavatam is an eternal scripture which applies to all ages and all universes. The 11th canto is specifically referring to this Kali Yuga, the one, unique one, out of the other 999 out of 1,000 described in the ones being described in the 12th canto. So Narada, seeking to inaugurate the chanting of the holy name, but finding that in this Kali Yuga, nobody is interested in the holy name. They're not interested in devotional service. They've been infected with the snake bite of Kali, making everyone mad with the illusions and the spells of Maya. And he was thinking, I cannot induce anyone to take up the path to bhakti or about chanting of the holy name. And he understood in his heart that only if Krishna himself comes can he inspire them. And I will be known as a true servant of Lord Govinda only if I can bring him down. So before approaching the Lord with this request, he traveled throughout the universe, and specifically throughout the earth, and witnessed for himself how no one had any interest in the holy name of Krishna or the process of devotional service. They were simply absorbed in thoughts of I and my. Meanwhile, in Vaikuntha, the Lord himself, being omniscient, was contemplating how to rectify this horrible situation on earth. And then, when Rukmini Devi in Dwarka, in the spiritual sky, was preparing, cleaning her palace, even though it was immaculately clean, she was cleaning for the arrival of Sri Krishna. And when Krishna arrived at her palace, he found her weeping. And he said, "O Devi, I cannot understand your heart. Why are you weeping like this? You know that you're my favorite queen. Are you still upset with me about the time I joke with you?" And she said to Krishna that, you know everything that there is to know. You're omniscient. But how could you possibly understand the love of your devotees? Only if you cultivated in your own heart, Radha Bhava, could you understand her selfless love. And Krishna was astonished by these words. What is there that is unknown to me? He was contemplating. I did not know that there was something I did not understand. And then Rukmini, still very upset, very morose, still crying, told Krishna that there is something I want to reveal to you from the bottom of my heart. I know that you're going to leave me and go away because it just mystifies me how the love of Srimati Radharani binds you so completely. And even today, your heart so pines for her. And when you chant her name, you just become so influenced and overwhelmed by her love. And just at that very touching moment, Narada arrived in Dwarka. And his heart was just full of anxiety. And his eyes were just red like the rising sun and brimming with tears. And then Krishna said, oh no. What's troubling you? And Narada explained that wherever I go, I can't hear your holy name being chanted. And the conditioned souls in this Kaliyuga are so intoxicated by pride. They have no interest in Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna sensed what Narada was getting to. He told Narada that I just heard a wonderful thing from Rukmini. And by contemplating what she told me, followed by what you just told me, I can understand that in the age of Kali, I must assume a form filled with humility and become a devotee of myself and freely distribute love for myself in the process of Harinama Sankirtan. And while Sri Krishna in Dwarka was explaining before Rukmini to Narada how he would appear as his golden avatar in the age of Kali, to their amazement, right before their eyes, he actually became the golden avatar. And Narada Muni just fell down on the ground in great ecstasy, thinking, I've never seen a form like this before. And Lochan Das Thakur says, this is the first time, at least outside of Goloka, that Krishna had manifest that golden form. So, thereafter, the Lord, having sent his parents and ancestors and guru and associates, including Narada, having them appear on earth, was feeling called and attracted by the three external reasons for his appearance. Advaitacharya had vowed to bring the Lord down. And with loud calls and prayers and cries resounding beyond the coverings of the material universe of Vaikuntha, the Lord was attracted by his love and compassion, combined with a sincere, humble chanting of Hari Das Thakur in the kirtans which resounded from the house of Sri Das Thakur. Attracted by these three external reasons, the Lord entered the heart of Satyadevi. Then, on the evening of this day, as the moon, the full moon, was being eclipsed, full eclipse, which was actually Rahu trying to devour the moon, and due to the inauspiciousness of a lunar eclipse, all the residents of Earth, both the Hindus and the Muslims, and everyone combined, friends and enemies, old and young, learned, high, ignorant, and low class, everyone just lost any sense of enmity or envy and combined together in a spirit of brotherhood, all simultaneously, all together, chanting the holy names of the Lord. And when that kirtan reached its crescendo, the Lord appeared from the holy sanctuary. He first caused the appearance of his holy name, and then simultaneously, he appeared himself. And as soon as he appeared, not like babies usually do, just crying, but smiling and beaming, looking up with great affection upon his parents, feeling for all that such a mother had been through in losing 8 daughters just at birth. Those 8 daughters being the 8 envelopes which incarcerate the conditioned soul, the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. After casting them away, she gave birth to Vishwaroopa, the facsimile of Lord Nityananda, who is Ananda Shesh, the eternal perfect servitor of the Lord. And then, when Lord Gauranga appeared, smiling and chanting the universe with his beauty, and illuminating the darkness of the Kaliyuga during the time of the eclipse, at the height of it, kirtan. And what to call him? The lady suggested that he met Nimai. Because he was born in a neem tree. But more so because they were thinking the effects of the neem tree is protective and antiseptic. And it will ward off the god of death who took away all her daughters.